One of the best loved traditions that begin around now is that of the Advent calendar. Perhaps you have one in your household or in your family at this time. We, at one time, had a beautiful little one that came from a grandmother. Each of its little doors, one for each day of December, concealed a separate little book telling a different part of the stories leading up to the birth of Jesus. And each had a little loop of golden thread with which to hang it on the tree. It was beautifully made and an object of wonder for the younger members of our family, and the little ritual every evening of finding the tiny door which holds the that day's story was a wonderful way of focusing their intense interest in what is to come. And of course, along the way, they are learning the traditions of a holy time. To them, the season they are learning about is Christmas, even though the calendar is teaching them Advent. And it tends to be a slightly schizoid process, this teaching of Advent. It just seems to swim against the riptide of cultural Christmas that begins to rise right after Halloween, if not before. By now, though, it's in full flood. Never mind that today is really only the third Sunday of Advent, and that the season of Christmas doesn't even begin until December 25th, when it runs for 12 days, until Epiphany on January 6th. In fact, it just seems strange even to mention that as Lent is to Easter, Advent is meant to be a time of fasting and spiritual preparation for the great feasts of Christmas and Epiphany. And in fact, Epiphany is a much older and for many centuries more significant festival than Christmas. If there even is a penitential season related to all this, it comes for most people not before, but after Christmas, when it suddenly hits us both how much we have eaten and how much we have spent in an extended period of merrymaking, which, if it did not start in July, certainly begins by Remembrance Day. Trying to hold back Christmas and celebrate Advent in the middle of all that cuts so profoundly against the cultural grain of secular Christmas, which every year engulfs us, that every year I could almost wonder if I should even mention it. So if what everybody really wants is silver bells and ho, 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 why do we really need Advent anyway? I've been ruminating on this weighty subject quite a bit of late and doing some very deep research. And I've gone far into the scholarly literature and consulted the most learned authorities. And I've come up with something that is, if not the very last word on why we need Advent, it is certainly a spiritual classic for many of us. It's by that eminent scholar, Professor Charles M. Schulz, and it's called A Charlie Brown Christmas. I'm sure you know it, if only from the other times I've preached this sermon, and it has been handed down for generations now. My kids inherited it from their grandparents, and I'm quite sincere when I say that it has some profound insights to offer. I'm just going to assume that every single one of us has at least a passing familiarity with Charlie Brown, Lucy, Linus, the Peanuts Gang, and this seasonal classic in which Charlie, searching for involvement, is invited to direct the annual Christmas play. It's just really fantastic, this thing. Quite brilliant in every way. Great story, great music, great insights into what is really going on at this most wonderful time of the year. Among these insights, Among these insights is that the Christmas celebration itself is not the real purpose of Christmas. The birth of Jesus, miraculous as it is a prophecy of what is to come. This is the deeper meaning that Charlie Brown is searching for. And that is what Advent is for, that search for deeper meaning. At least for some of us, it will be a search. And of course, for others, as a Charlie Brown Christmas shows, it may not be so much a search as a time to deepen our commitment to a meaning we have already found, and which means that for us, there is no more searching. This deepening of our commitments is all the more needed now because of the many other messages with which we are bombarded at this time of year. Charlie Brown's disgust at the materialistic nature of most of those messages is something that many of us share. He gets this message from his dog, Snoopy, when Snoopy sets out to win the contest for best decorated house. He hears it again from his younger sister, Sally, when he helps her write her letter to Santa with its numerous requests for more and more gifts. In response to Charlie's disgust, she replies, "But I only want my fair share." It's one of the more familiar meanings of Christmas. Shallow as it is, we've all been there at some point. When Charlie and Linus are sent out to find a great big shiny aluminum Christmas tree, they are given strict instructions by Lucy to get the biggest aluminum tree you can find, Charlie Brown, maybe painted pink. To which Patty adds, "Yeah, do something right for a change, Charlie Brown." When Charlie and Linus set out to find the tree, their nighttime journey is guided by some aptly named search lights, which crisscross the sky. Not quite the star in the east, but we get the picture. Accompanied by Vince Guaraldi's very stylish jazz rendition of "O Christmas Tree." Linus and Charlie do find what Lucy and Patty have sent them out for, a great big shiny pink aluminum Christmas tree. "This really brings Christmas close to a person," says Linus, as he gives it a rap with his knuckles. Donk. It makes a hollow sound, like any empty tin can. Good grief! The thing is so hollow and devoid of meaning that Linus is forced immediately to suck his thumb to comfort himself. It leaves him that empty. "Fantastic," says Charlie, rolling his eyes. But then they make a true discovery. The only real tree in the lot. It's a poor specimen, looking a bit sad there all by itself against all the great big shiny pink ones. But the dialogue is telling. Linus, "Gee, do they still make wooden Christmas trees?" Charlie Brown, "This little green one here seems to need a home." Linus, "I don't know, Charlie Brown. Remember what Lucy said? This doesn't seem to fit the modern spirit." And that's it in a nutshell. The true Christmas is humble and poor. Born in a stable as it is, laid in a manger as he was, foretelling greater things to come as it does, the true meaning of Christmas doesn't seem to fit the modern spirit. There seems to be no room for it at the inn. And that's why we need Advent. To keep it all in perspective, to hang on to that deeper meaning as we enter into the spirit of the season. It's not that the commercialization of Christmas is so wrong, really, as much as that it's not completely right. It doesn't satisfy. It will always leave us wanting more. But there are a few steps more before the rest of the peanuts will truly get that message. They laugh themselves off the stage when Charlie Brown's tree shows up. "Can't you even tell a good tree from a poor tree?" they say. "You've been dumb before, Charlie Brown, but this time you really did it." "Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?" cries Charlie, raising his arms heavenward. It's Linus who puts it all in perspective. Taking center stage, he calls for light in the darkness and takes us back to the source. As the whole Peanuts host sits in rapt silence, he recites the real story of the birth as it is found in Luke's Gospel, in the old King James Version, no less, complete with poor shepherds and the angel of the Lord bringing the good news. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." What? In the middle of this cartoon Christmas special? Isn't this supposed to be mindless entertainment? Not by a long shot. Of the day and hour of the coming of the Son of Man, truly one never knows. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward all. The gospel story changes everything, as we know. And the Peanuts know it now too, thanks to Linus, and thank God. And now Charlie knows what to do. He grabs the tree and heads outside. Leaving behind his empty director's chair, he lets a higher power direct his steps. Outside, under the clear night sky, he looks up and knows the truth. The very stars are signs of God's work in the world. "Linus is right," he says. "I won't let all this commercialism ruin my Christmas." He takes the poor little tree home and decorates it, with the help of the rest of the gang, of course. It's not such a bad little tree, after all. All it needed was a little bit of love. And when that happens, hark, the herald angels sing. And that is what we need Advent for. As the Peanuts did while they prepared their Christmas play, it's a time to hear the story anew. Contemplate the deeper meaning of Christmas, and in our hearts, prepare him room.